Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Vicky Ho, and we are sitting in Taiwan Adventist College. And I got to talking with you, and I thought it'd be really nice if you could share some of your life with our listeners. So did you grow up loving Jesus and knowing him as your personal Savior from the time you can remember?
Yes, I think so, because my mother, she taught me how to pray, and she also gave me lots of not Bible studies, but a lot of Bible stories as bedtime stories for my sister and me before we went to bed. So that's how I learned about Jesus, and he is our Savior.
What about your father? What influence did your father have?
Well, I will not say that my father gave me a very great influence in religious field, but I will say that he has a very strong and very tough character, and he is a very honest person. So I believe that to some degree, he's also built lots of lifelong values mm-hmm. in our lives.
Now, was he also a Christian?
He wasn't when I was still very... He hadn't been baptized when I was still very young, but he was baptized when I was perhaps 4 or 5.
And did your parents work for the church, or how did you happen to come to be at Taiwan Adventist College?
My parents, they are both layman people, and I grew up in a church, and so I learned about this school since I was very young. Actually, my elder sister, she came here to Taiwan Adventist Middle School when she was in her 12 years old or 13 years old. She didn't finish the whole course, but she came here to study. So I learned about this school since I was very young. And I also believe that I will be someone who come to this school and study theology, because my mom said that she said before she got me, she prayed that she prayed the Lord that she'll have a son, and she will have the son serve him, like Hannah prayed for Samuel. Mm-hmm. However, she got a girl, but she believed that this is the answer of the prayer. So she told me about this story. She told me this story. So I think I just know one day I'll come and study theology here in TAC.
So explain to me your early educational experience. It started at what time in the morning? It ended at what time of the day? How many days a week? Give us the details.
In elementary school, mm-hmm. It actually started at 7:30. I had to go to school before 7:30, and it ended like in the afternoon at 4 to 4 o'clock. And then in the middle school, it still started in 7:30, and it ended in 5:10 in the afternoon. And then in the college, it doesn't have a very specific time, but most of the time the schoolwork just started at 8 and ended at 5 o'clock.
So how did you learn English?
I learned English since I was so young. Like, I was in the kindergarten, I started to learn English, and until now, and I'm now 30, so that'll be more than 20 years. So that's how it works. If you keep learning a language for so long,
it would be nice if that is how it works. But in this country, I have not found that many people who can speak English as good as you can. So I'm wondering, you know, if you had a gift for languages, or you just had to practice more. Who's inspired you to do that?
who inspired me to learn English?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, English is a very important subject for students in Taiwan. We push and we spend lots of government money and fees. They want to make sure that everyone can have very good English ability. Yes. And I think at school, because it becomes a subject, mm-hmm. and you have to take exams, and if you do not do it well, you fail, you cannot get to the next level. So that's why I really studied hard. But I think it has a lot to do with my interest in reading, because I know that there are lots of literatures written originally in the original languages in English, and I want to read the original piece. That's mm-hmm. why I made myself keep learning it, and to make sure that I'll get better and better.
So when you came home at the elementary level, when you came home at 4:10 yes. or 4:30, then did you have a lot of homework?
I remember I had a lot of homework. It might not be a lot now when I'm looking at it,
yes.
but as a 5 or 6 year old, that would be a lot.
Yes, yes.
And actually, when I was still very young, teachers are allowed to punish physically at school. And I remember I was not a very student's pet, like a pet for the teacher. And they just, some teachers will hit students, and I got punished.
You got hit?
Quite a lot, yes.
Wow.
Quite a lot.
Of course, in the American system, that's not allowed.
I know. It is not allowed right now, but I remember that I was pretty much punished when I was still very young. Yeah.
So that didn't seem to prevent you from going on and really applying yourself later on in school.
Well, it depends. Not in English, because in elementary school, we still didn't have English class then. However, in mathematics or in Chinese writing, something like that, I just got totally punished on those parts. I believe it might have a negative influence.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, well, we do know now that it does have a very negative influence. It can create test anxiety. Yes. It can create a resistance to learning, where it's just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yes.
But it seems like the Taiwanese people have this culture where they really do value education. They push their children. They might not be punishing them as much today, but they're still very long hours where they're in school and they have homework afterwards.
And they have cram schools. And cram schools have lots of homework as well.
Cram school. Explain a little bit about the cram school.
Cram school, I became a cram school goer when I was, since I entered middle school, in junior high and high schools. After we... the schoolwork at school stops, then we had to go to the cram school, and we had to be there till 8 to 9 o'clock. Some people were there for because if you start at 6 or 6:30 and the course might take 2 hours, then that'll be 8:30. So when you go back home, that'll be 9 o'clock.
Yes.
And if you do not have cram school, the school will force you to stay here, or they might not force, but they will suggest you stay after school and study till 9. And I still remember that I was there at 9 o'clock when I left the school and waiting for my mom to pick me up. I was perhaps 13, 14 then. And then I have to wait for my mom to pick me up, and once or twice, I don't remember, my mom just forgot to pick me. And I just saw, because that's 9 o'clock, that's very late, And
you're very tired,
yes,
too.
And I can see that all of my eyes just dim.
And, and you're
standing alone in a very dark road waiting for my mom. And praise the Lord, I wasn't really hurt by some people then. Yeah.
It's hard to believe. So when you got done with the cram school, then could you go home and go to bed?
I went home and I skipped studying, finished my homework, and go to bed. I went to bed at 11 to 11:30.
Yes. I think probably the value of this show that we're having today is to help other students realize how much free time they have. Because when school is over for them at 3:30 or even 2:45, then the rest of the day is playing and, you know, maybe doing things that have some value, but not cram school stuff, I can assure you. I can't imagine. Cram school, what is cram school accomplishing?
Cram school, actually, it helps students study because sometimes students do not have a lot of time to learn to pick up the points, the major points in a certain subject. And the cram school just think for you and give you a picture of what students are studying and help them to pick up the points. And actually, I believe right now that cram school actually help students to think. It helps students think so they do not have to spend too much time on study a subject themselves as a thinker. And it helps because we have lots of exams, a lot of tests. I remember I got 5 tests, quiz a day from morning to afternoon. So if we do not have cram school help us to give us the a certain questions and help us to study certain questions before we got those quizzes, we'll fail. Mm-hmm. And because parents and teachers and students really, really believe those exams are important or those tests are important, so the cram school just helps students to learn how to solve a certain question. Yeah.
So those are pretty high-stake tests. When they take the tests, do the tests decide for them then which route they're going to go in their furthering their education?
Yes, because when I was in junior high school, before I went to the high school, I had to take a test, a big exam held by the government to gave us to put students in different groups, and students have to use their grades in exams to go to a better high school or not so good high school. So to students and to parents, those things are really important because as a better high school, so-called a better high school, they'll have more government funds and the environment will be better, teachers will be better, and the students also will be better. So to enter a good high school is very important. And after we graduate from high school, actually before we graduate from high school, we also have to take a very big exam before we enter the university. And the university also pick students to see by their grades in a big exam, also held by the government, actually. And there are lots of details in it. But yes, a big exam, to do well in those in those exams really determine our future.
It really does.
Yes.
And I think anyone listening has to appreciate that in some countries, good grades count. Maybe the SATs or the ACTs count, but they're not the determining factor.
Yes.
Okay, now we're in Taiwan Adventist College. And would you recommend this college like maybe someone who wants to learn Mandarin? I mean, if everybody here can speak English as good as you, they certainly don't They might not be immersed into Mandarin because they could get by with just speaking English.
Well, if someone wants to really learn English in this school, it might be better for them to attend BBD, the Bilingual Business Department. Mm-hmm. That'll be better for them. However, if you decide that you are not so good at English and you do not want to study business, it'll be better for you to pick a school that really can help you in English, in the field of English, because we actually do not have a very hardcore, I would not say that, but actually, because most of the classes here are in English, but if you want to really get good at English, we also have some English class for ordinary subjects like English writing, English grammar. However, I believe that language is a very is something that we have to spend lots of time on, and because the school has lots of activities, and sometimes we have to, you know, give up
yes.
the time of study.
Yes.
And so I think people have to decide themselves. And
yes,
to see.
Well, in North America, the women are very slow to take theology. They will become teachers, nurses, doctors even. The field of theology is not very open to them. But you don't think that's the same here?
I believe it has to do with like ordination, because as a woman, our church policy will not ordain women, female ministers. But I do not believe that is a boundary, or it should be something to stop women from serving the Lord. I believe we have lots of departments that women can be very great in, like health evangelism, and in teachings, like as a teachers, working working at school. Because I believe that women are better in talking; they are better talkers, and yes, and they have sympathy, and it is a very important element in health evangelism. Yes. So I do not think that being a minister should be the final goal for a woman to serve the Lord. And because to be trained in theology is actually a training in thinking.
Yes.
To have a Christian thinking and to know how to share the gospel to the others. And women have certain qualities that is given by God as gifts to share what they learned in theology. So I don't believe that women should, you know, believe themselves not good enough for the ministries. Yeah.
I love that. I agree with you. Shouldn't get bound up on man-made certificates or whatever. Anyway, what has been the biggest challenge for you in the last year?
The biggest challenge for me is actually the way of thinking. Because as you learned a lot about how I grew up in education, you can know that I was confronted with lots of challenges and lots of competitions. And because I grew up in a very secular environment, and the first thing is in that kind of secular environment, I had to learn how to beat the others in intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do not enter the school, I got maybe 0.1 point that I fell short, just 1%, and I might not be good enough to enter a school that is so important for my future. And so in my heart or openly, I'll have to beat the others, to compete with mm-hmm. the others, to, you know, to see if someone is better than me, if I'm better than the others. However, that is totally the wrong kind of attitude in education or study, because Ellen White told us that competition is actually not the plan of God, mm-hmm. because like in secular view, competition helps people. Mm-hmm. However, it is not true. It is so not true.
Yes.
Because God gives everyone different gifts, yes. different talents. And what humans have to do is to hone those talents the mm-hmm. finest to glorify our Father in heaven, not to glorify ourselves. And however, competition will just say, hey, I'm better than him, or I'm better than her, so I'm fine.
Yes.
And that will make people feel good about themselves, mm-hmm. thinking they no longer need to make better, or they're so afraid to be beaten by the other people, mm-hmm. and then they just, it is not the kind of a happy life. It is a life full of fear.
Yes.
Thinking that it is a Darwinism.
Yes.
Like, if I fall short, then I'll die. Something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
And we just have that kind of fear in the back of our mm-hmm. mind as a burden.
Yes.
And that's what I'm trying to put it down right now. I'm trying to live a life without fear. So that's why I think that's the reason why Jesus say, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free or make
Amen.
You free. Because the truth is that we do not have to live in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can believe that everyone has their own talents and they are called by God in a certain way to glorify him. And we will feel so good about other people's talents and say, okay, he or she is so good. Praise the Lord that he or she, someone like that, is
yeah.
serving him. So I'm still fighting that kind of fear.
Yes.
By the grace of God, it gets better now.
Yes, yes.
But it is a change of mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reformation. It's a live again experience. And I believe it is also a kind of to have a new life
yes.
kinds of experience, because that kind of thinking didn't exist before I really studied theology. It wasn't someone who told me this kind of concept. It was by studying theology, studying the Word of God, and like just dawned on me.
Yes.
Yes.
What a wonderful way to end the show, because we know that our Savior knew each one of us before he put us together in our mother's womb,
yes.
and he created us just the way he wanted us to be, and it's so reassuring. Thank you, Vicky, so much for spending this time with
You're
us.
You're welcome.
One last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.